Yeah, I think I'm right in saying this, and if you're not as old, then I'm sorry. But most of us here remember the last coronation, don't we just? When Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth in 1953, of course we know now lots and lots of pictures that we've seen reminding us what a coronation was about, because it was 70 years ago, wasn't it? But then we're going to be given the opportunity, like we did then, to be able to watch it on the television. But the last time, that was fun. You had hundreds of people stood outside shops that sold televisions, and they were watching it on them because they lit them all up. If you were fortunate, my dad decided, I didn't know what a television was, I didn't know what he was talking about. I was going on for 13 at the time. And everything in my home that could possibly have been moved was moved so that we could accommodate this thing that was in a corner, 9 inches. Now they fill a wall, don't they? I have a neighbour across the way. I'm never worried about if the telly goes off because I can see theirs, because it's massive, really massive. So you had a telly, but the thing about that was that it wasn't for yourself or for you. I can see my dad, I don't know where they put the sweet. I really don't. But they brought forms in from the working men's club so that the neighbours... You know, we did it, didn't we? And my mother made that many sandwiches so that they could have, and we had a big teapot, and it was wonderful because we were ordinary folk witnessing something that was not ordinary. It was wonderful, even if it was in black and white. But yesterday, everybody could have seen it. Everybody here, anyway. First, the new king is presented to the people, formally recognized before everyone, to take the oath, accepting the duties and responsibilities of kingship. And the anointing. I thought those screens were beautiful. Last time it was just a cover thing with like a frill so that the television people couldn't look in, kind of a thing. But nobody could see anything. But those screens were beautifully embroidered. And I thought, because I kept thinking, I wonder if they're going to do it this time. And then, of course, there was the other articles given after the anointing, the sword and the spurs. Again, a lady carried the jeweled sword of state. And that was a new idea, because this is King Charles involving everybody, male, female, children. It was a child that opened the wonderful proceedings. A little choir boy. The armills or the bracelets. Now the Queen wore these. I can remember she kept having to shove them up because they kept slipping down, you know, and she didn't want them to go over. The bracelets of sincerity and wisdom. Everything means something. The orb, the globe of the world, dominated by the cross of Christ, Christianity, the ring of kingly dignity, this lovely ring, a sapphire with the cross of St. George, setting it in rubies, placed on the third, well, it was last time, I believe, placed on the third finger of the right hand. In other words, the wedding finger of years gone by. wedded to the job. And I thought, this is where, in a way, if we have a ring, shove it on the third finger, if I can find one small enough, I will, and think of it as being married to Christ. I don't mean as a nun, but just a reminder that this is the job you've got to do. And then the scepters, the two royal scepters. The scepter with the cross, this ensign of kingly power and justice. The scepter with the dove, where we are reminded of the king's paternal function as our guardian and guide. And then, of course, that crown, St. Edward's crown. I have a book. It's all about the coronation. And it's got all coloured pictures in, and it's got everything to do with everything. And they said that this cross was made for Charles II. But according to this book from Her Majesty's Stationery Office, it says in that cross, that crown that was made, were gold. There's 5 pounds of gold to make it that had been sent by Cromwell to the mint to be melted down. We don't want no king. We don't want no queen. You've got me. And you'll have to stick with it because we're going to get rid of all these ornaments. And in this book it says this 5 pound of gold, and of course they had to write everything down, it was never used. Somebody must have hid it, and it was put into St. Edward's crown. So when you think about it, St. Edward's crown has got that piece from the crowns from before. So I just think it was a moment that I'm hoping that the Archbishop got it the right way, because it has been, it's been dropped a couple of times. You know, when that man in Victoria's time, he fell down the steps and the crown followed him, but they managed it. The sovereign was crowned. We saw Queen Elizabeth, didn't we, all those years ago. We saw Queen Elizabeth's son yesterday, crowned with all majesty. Thank God for our new king and queen, who will serve the Lord Jesus and his people, both here and throughout the world. But now we turn to another throne. And this is the throne in heaven in chapter 4. After this, I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me, like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once, I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. And surrounding this throne were seated 24 other thrones. But we turn to this other throne. First of all, did you notice that there was an open door in heaven? I'm so thankful for that. Because God wants us to come in. He wants us to come in to be with him. This throne, not made of wood, like that 700-year-old throne that Charles sat in yesterday. Full of graffiti. I didn't know that until a few weeks ago. Who messed it up? Who scratched the names in it? Well, there's no right. But it's history. That must have gone back. I mean, now it's all locked up in a... And it's like glass box with the lights on so people can see it when it's not in use. And it's not been in use for 70 years. So it must be a long time ago that people messed it up. And it's a shame. But here we have this throne and we have an open door and the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And I don't know about you. I want to go through that open door. I want to stand before God and pray with all my heart that I'm fit enough to be there. Because I've nothing to offer, only me. And yet Jesus loves me and he loves you. You know, we do know that this Apostle John got all this revelation from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was given this message to give to the infant church, those very early followers of Christ, to know without a doubt that Christ is always with them, no matter what difficult circumstances they would go through. John himself, he did not have it easy, did he? I mean, what was he going to be able to do where he was? He was on the Isle of Patmos. And Patmos is a little tiny island which Bert and I saw from the shores of Kos, which is really another small island. And I decided I'd like to go over to Patmos when we were on holiday. The trouble was that the strait of water from that beach to that beach over there could turn a bit nasty, a bit like the Irish Sea. Have you been on the Irish Sea? Well, it's been rough. Whew. But you see, that particular day I booked to go, they couldn't go. But it set me thinking that if it's bad for us with big ships to go there, it must have been really, he was imprisoned there. He wasn't going anywhere. He couldn't swim. So this disciple must have been thinking and praying, what am I supposed to do for you, Lord? You see, God knew that nothing would prevent the spread of his word. The last book of the Bible is about the future and about the present. It's about Christ's victory over evil and the assurance of eternal life with him. These images, as we read in Scripture, we can understand that Jesus Christ will come again. Evil will be judged, and its reign of terror on the earth will end. And three, everyone. No, I don't know how anyway, and I can't sit here and try and explain. Everyone will stand before God. And it's not just when, you know, I believe it's all gathered from time immemorial, from Adam and Eve's time, and they'll stand before God and they will be judged. We may not meet King Charles in the throne room at Buckingham Palace. I've never been. No, I can't, because I can't climb all them stairs anyway. But we will stand in the throne room of God, and we'll stand before him. Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, it says, the beginning and the end. For John, it was just another Lord's Day. He says, it was the Lord's Day. And my message to us this morning, is this just another Lord's Day? You know, we're all happy saying to each other, I've been coming here so many years. Is it just another Lord's Day? It was another Lord's Day for him. Started as always, it did. But you know, no matter which servant of God stands here in this pulpit, which servant of God we hear from each one of us, because we're all servants, can't get away with it, we're all servants of God. God's world is not spinning out of control. Even though as we watch television and read the paper, it looks like it, and we get disheartened, and many are frightened at what mankind can do to each other. Almighty God is in control. He will carry out his plans as Christ initiates the final battle with the forces of evil. And then it says John goes through this door and then he sees the throne of God. And he sees someone, it says, sitting on it. He sees someone like sitting on it. But he still doesn't know what it is or who it is, because it says it had the appearance of precious jewels. In other words, he couldn't see for the brilliance. He couldn't see. To me, it's like when the Lord Jesus was on Mount Tabor and all of a sudden he was transfigured. And they said the brightness was so much they fell back. It was wonderful, they said. And I've always wondered how Moses and Elijah were there. How did they know it was Moses and Elijah when they'd never been in that century? But they did. The brightness of it, and it says, and over the throne was a rainbow encircling it, an emerald. A brightness that we cannot look upon. In Ezekiel, he has the same experience. God's people taken captive in Babylon, where Ezekiel is given a vision very similar to the one of John at the end of the Bible. And the brightness was so much that Ezekiel couldn't take it, and neither could John. In Psalm 104, it says these words, let all that I am praise the Lord. O Lord my God, you're great. How great you are. You are robed with honor and majesty. You are dressed in a robe of light. Then it goes on to talk about the starry curtain of heaven. You make the clouds your chariot. You ride upon the wings of the wind. And verse 4 says, the winds are your messengers, flames of fire are your servants. And if we twist it round to the Greek, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? Finally, we shall be taking communion in just a moment. Christ has died, it says. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Do we mean that? I hope so. There will come that glorious day when Jesus will come again, God with us. In the beginning, God worked with Adam and Eve. He walked with them in the garden. And remember that very sad verse that says, "Where are you? Where are you?" He couldn't find them. Why? Because they were hiding. They'd done what they shouldn't. But 21st chapter of Revelation, Jesus is coming to live with us permanently. There's nothing in God's word that gives us deep sense, well, it does to me anyway, deep sense of joy than home. I've traveled a lot throughout the world, and no matter where I've been, no matter what I've seen, when the car takes me back home, I think, it's good to be home. And the first thing you do is put the kettle on and forget about the suitcase. It's good to be homes. But the homes we have on earth are places we love to be. And one day, those who love the Lord Jesus Christ, those we have followed the Saviour, you know what? That would be the best of days. We will go home to be with him and be with those who we love. King of kings, Lord of lords, this is Jesus. Amen.